You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
Yesterday, at the age of 88, Pope Francis passed away from stroke and heart failure. Pope Francis was known for being outspoken on various rights issues, including around immigration, refugees, climate change, and the occupation of Palestine, as well as being the Pope, leader of the Catholic Church. The next Pope is expected to be decided over the coming weeks, with multiple people seen as frontrunners for the position. To discuss the life, accomplishments, and death of Pope Francis, I spoke to Senior Lecturer of Theological and Religious Studies, Dr. Nick Thompson. So, if we're thinking, just to start out, about the life and accomplishments of Pope Francis, what was he most known for?
People have pointed out, his pontificate marks a lot of firsts, and that he was the first Pope from the Southern Hemisphere, and also the first from outside of the kind of Mediterranean European part of the world more broadly. So I think that that brought with it a much kind of broader global perspective on that office. So I think that the real overarching themes of his tenure in the papacy were first and foremost the poor and the marginalized, particularly migrants and refugees of various kinds, but also those who have been left out by the grotesque inequities of capitalism as it has been practiced over the last 40 or 50 years. He was very, very critical of capitalism. Also very critical of its role in producing climate change, and also very aware that those who would bear the brunt of climate change would be the economically dispossessed. And he wrote very powerfully about the need to address climate change. And I think, finally, in his choice of new cardinals and also his attempts to reform the governance of the church, he made it clear that he thought that it had to be a much more global institution, one that was not led just by European men, but where the power is more broadly shared.
And if we're thinking about now what happens after his passing, what's the process of selecting a new pope like?
So it's quite bound by convention. I don't know how many of your listeners will have seen the recent film Conclave, although that's obviously a work of fiction, and details have been altered to kind of to help the plot along. It's still a fairly good representation of how the conclave operates. So after the funeral is over, I think later this week, and then there's a period of 9 days of mourning. So somewhere in about a fortnight's time, the cardinals will have convened from around the world, or at least the cardinals who are eligible to vote. Only cardinals who are under the age of 80 can vote. So that's I think about 135 of them, four from the South Pacific. And they are effectively locked away in the Sistine Chapel for two voting sessions every day. I think they're bussed away to a nearby hostel where they eat and sleep, and then they go back to the Sistine Chapel. And the idea is that they're completely cut off from all outside influences. You know, famously, they have to surrender their phones and other devices so that they can't read the news. And then after some period of time, in the last century, it's never been much longer than about a week, they should have secured a vote of 2/3 in favour of a candidate. They ask him if he wants to be Pope, And if he says yes, then the cardinal swear an oath of obedience to him, and then he's presented to the people out on the balcony of St. Peter's.
And in terms of the main front runners in this process, I mean, you mentioned earlier that Francis was, I guess, a first in being from the Southern Hemisphere and from being outside that Europe Mediterranean area. Are we seeing others from, I guess, outside and broadly? Who are the people who are going to be contesting this role?
I've read three different lists on the so-called papabili, those who could be elected Pope this morning. Every single list was quite significantly different from the other list, which I think is a way of saying that no one knows. It's at least in my lifetime, it's always been a complete surprise. And I think part of the reason for that is because the Pope has to be something approximating a consensus candidate, not a complete consensus, but to get a two-thirds majority, you have to be the choice of a number of constituencies in the church. And so, you know, it's not a position that you can run for. You can't campaign for it. It's like forming an MMP government, except even more complicated than that.
If we're looking at what the new Pope could look like, I mean, what are the processes, I guess, that we could see under a new Pope? What are the changes that we might be looking at there?
Well, again, it's hard to predict. If I had to bet, just because Francis has chosen most of those who will be electing him, I would bet that there's not going to be a huge break with his pontificate. There's always surprises. Francis himself was a bit of a surprise following two rather conservative pontificates. It could go back in a conservative direction. But even if it did, I would expect the popes to still be foregrounding issues of economic inequity, the injustices of global capitalism, the injustices that face migrants and refugees, and also more broadly, calling for peace, as we seem to be careening toward war. Whatever else happens, I'd expect those to remain kind of consistent features of the next papacy.
That was Senior Lecturer of Theological and Religious Studies, Dr. Nick Thompson, speaking to me about the passing of Pope Francis.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.